This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Wa rasuluhu. Usikum wa iyaya awalan bittaqullah faqad faz al muttaqun. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. InshaAllah to all the sisters, let us begin the day with our morning dua. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma bika asbahna wa bika amsayna wa bika nahya wa bika namut wa ilayka nushur. Bismillahillazi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wala fis sama'i wa huwas sami'ul alim. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami dina wa bi Muhammadin nabiyya. Allahumma zidni ilman nafi'a wa rizqan tayyiba wa amalan mutaqabbala. Ya muqallibal qulub ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى طاعتك. اللهم أدخلنا جنتك وأجرنا من النار. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ajma'in anilhamdulillahi rabbil alamin amin ya rabbil alamin. All praise due to Allah rabbil alamin for his blessing, his guidance, his forgiveness, for the help that Allah have given us until today, and we hope and pray may Allah give us a healthy mind, body and soul to prepare ourselves for this coming Ramadan inshallah. For those who are not healthy, we pray may Allah give them good health as soon as possible. For those who are healthy and those who are traveling, we ask Allah to make their journey a safe one until they are back home to continue with the fasting inshallah. We have sisters, families, or jama'ah who have left for Umrah. Maybe they would like to perform Umrah in the month of Ramadan and they'll be back soon. May Allah give them a good Umrah, and also may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them all the reward that Allah had prepared for them in the month of Ramadan. Ameen. To all the sisters, again, before we continue, allow me to convey the salam from our brothers, the jama'ah and the sister in Batam, Indonesia, and also from Philippines. They convey the salam from the FMSA, Federation of Muslim Student Association from Philippines. They have been very active. They just finished the conference, pre-Ramadan's conference, preparing for Ramadan al-Mubarak. This is what we always do in our classes before the big event is going to take place. Like Ramadan is a big event for the Ummah. It's not just like a normal month. It's a month where every Muslim in the whole world is waiting for this month. For the believers, we have been waiting for almost 11 months already. Alhamdulillah, with Allah's mercy, we are able to fast again. It's a blessing. But what Allah Rabbul Alameen always remind us as believer in Surah Al-Hashar, just my muqaddimah, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba ala allazina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, in Surah Al-Hashar, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullah wal tanzur nafsumma qaddamat ligadin wa taqullah innallaha kabirun bima ta'amalun. The first ayah, Allah remind us about as a believer to prepare yourself for Ramadan, then Allah have make it compulsory upon the believers, so that at the end of the day, our iman will increase. We are getting closer to Allah Rabbul Alameen, physically, mentally, and spiritually, inshaAllah. Ameen. And other ayah, Allah said, O you who believe in me, be faithful to me, then always prepare and look into yourself. What have you prepared for your tomorrow? Now, this ayah involves everything in our life. Anything you want to do in life for the future, you must prepare today. All the good deeds that we want to do, normally, sometimes, the test from Allah Rabbul Alameen, are you going to wait until Ramadan only you start to do good things? Are you going to wait for Ramadan only you want to be a better person? If we know that we are going to live until Ramadan, fair enough, you can take that risk. If you know. But no one knows when we are going back to Allah. So, you must be alert. When Allah said, look into yourself, what have you prepared for tomorrow? It's not until the month of Ramadan. Only you want to do all the good things. The minute you know that you can do something good today, you do it. Because tomorrow we do not know what is going to happen. That is what Allah always alert all of us. In other ayah, Allah said, فَاسْتَبِلُكُ khayrat. Anything that please Allah, be hasten. Yeah, do it as soon as possible. It's just like fasting. If you have missed your fast for 2016, if you do not do it fast, the best time is in the Shawwal. Shawwal will be the best because the environment of Shawwal, still the fasting environment is still very strong. Because a lot of people are still fasting Sunnah, Shawwal, for those who have completed the Ramadan. So it do help. But as you prolong, you delay, you'll find it more difficult. You see? So anything good, please don't delay. Yeah? Because Allah Rabbul Alameen is testing all of us. The Satan like us to delay. Take your time, don't worry. You have good heart, you have good intention, no problem. The shaitan gives you that kind of idea just to delay all the good thing that you can do today. So tomorrow you'll be busy again, you forget, and then that is what happened in life. Anyhow, Allah Rabbul Alameen, who love us so much, keep on reminding us, keep on encouraging us to do so many good things. But remember, anything you do, if your intention just for that particular reward, if your intention, because you want that reward, you will only get that reward. In the time of the companions, they don't do for the reward. But the Prophet encouraged them, but they do just to please Allah. Ibtigha'i mardatillah. That is the highest intention. Ibtigha'i mardatillah. That means everything I do, I only want to please Allah. How much Allah want to give it to me, He accept my deeds or not, I leave it to Allah Rabbul Alameen. I know Allah will never ignore any good deeds that we do that is been done purely to please Him. So the real reward actually is up to the level of our intention. If you do purely for Allah without thinking of that, Allah can reward you without any limit. What is the best reward that we want from Allah Rabbul Alameen? What is the best reward? Jannah. That's all we want. That is what we want. Because when you enter Jannah, khalas. Even the 100th class, alhamdulillah. And even you get at the 100th class, Allahu Akbar. It's more than the world and everything you have in this life. But because we have been trying so hard, to get the best one, and Allah will never ignore our intention. He just want us to make sure that we have the right intention. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us, brothers and sisters. I mean, just a little reminder, because fasting is getting very close. Maybe this coming weekend we are going to start our Qiyam. If it's confirmed Saturday is our fasting day, then Friday night will be our first Qiyam. The night prayer will start on Friday night. So everyone can prepare themselves. The office here have done what they have to do. Aircon is being services. Carpet is being cleaned. They have a total cleaning. To make everybody comfortable, inshallah. But at the end of the day, is our spiritual intention and our mental preparation. Allah Rabbul Alameen actually love people who always prepare themselves. It's like when you want to pray, you prepare yourself. You don't wait at the last minute, then you take your wudu. You have your wudu earlier. So this coming Ramadan, few things that I like to alert the jama'ah. First thing, don't miss the opportunity to make dua. The best dua that will not be rejected by Allah is 10 to 5 minutes before breaking of fast. That is a crucial area, because that is the time we are preparing for the breaking of fast. We are preparing for iftar. So if you want to prepare, of course, we have to prepare for iftar. But all of us are aware, is iftar is not dinner. You are not preparing for dinner. You are preparing for iftar. And iftar is so simple. Dates. Ramadan is known for dates in Malaysia. The Prophet eat dates every day. We eat dates in Ramadan. Never mind. Because that is when dates become very popular. So you have dates. If you are not used to date, you take fruits, something soft, sweet. Soft and sweet. You can take bananas, papaya, anything sweet. And then liquid drink. That's all. That is the spirit of iftar. When you go for nasi lemak, martabak, and all this, you are knowing you are not iftar anymore. You are having a pre-dinner. Don't do that. Just adjust yourself, because you need to spend 5 minutes or 10 minutes before iftar to pray, to ask Allah for whatever you want in your life. And what is the important thing when you want to ask Allah? Something that is simple, like what I just shared with you in the beginning of the class sometime. Ya muqalbil kulub, thabbit kulubana wa qalbi ala dini wa ala ta'atik. This is also very, very important. Ask Allah to make our heart rest, to have inner peace with Allah. There's always a lot of trial and problem in life. But when you have peace in your heart, you have peace in your life, inshallah. You think very positively. You don't have time to entertain a lot of bad things anymore. Negative thoughts, you have no time. Why? Because that is not going to help you. You all of you know, if you keep on entertaining things is negative, it's not going to help you. It gets worse and worse. So why must you torture yourself? And why don't you have faith in Allah that control everything? And if you keep on asking, if Allah answer your prayer, everything is solved. That's how we solve our problem. The second thing that dua that is also important, that the Prophet also encouraged us to ask, Allahumma khtim lana bi husnil khatima. We have to have that in mind. We want to have a good ending. We want to have a good ending. But to have good ending, you must have good thoughts, good feeling. If you always have negative feeling and thought, do you think you can have a good ending? Even to Allah, one of the criteria of a true believer, the Prophet said, is we have husni zan billahi ta'ala. Always have good feeling, good thoughts with Allah. Sometimes we do have bad thoughts with God. We say, oh Allah, if I want to give, you give lah. No, it's up to you. No. I was reminded by a group of brothers who are very alert. Because I was so used with this, inshallah, inshallah. So I say, don't forget to ask Allah for this. Yeah, inshallah. No? He will respond to your need. That word inshallah for this sentence is not correct. That means I still have doubts. I don't have that doubts, but the way, there was a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, when you ask Allah, you don't say, inshallah. Inshikta, you don't say, inshikta. If you wish, if you will, no, you just ask and then you stop and hope that the ending of the dua is what? Ameen. That Allah accept. Yeah. Do you know if you ask things from somebody and then after that you end there, if you wish, then it's up to me. No? But if you say, I pray you give it to me, Ameen. That means you really want that thing. If you say, your wish, lah. When your wish, and then sometimes they wish not to give you. This is very important. Yeah? Ask Allah for a good ending. But we have been asking Allah for a good ending, but sometimes we contradict ourselves because we don't have good thoughts and good feeling. Yeah, just have good thoughts and good feeling, inshallah. Allah loves people who have yaqeen. Yeah? And again, when we talk about funerals, the beauty of this topic, my nation, my people, don't like to talk about this. They say, when you are alive, don't talk about death. No? Just think about living. But because we know death is yaqeen. Waqbud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyakal yaqeen. In the Quran, Allah said, worship Allah means be connected to Allah, because worshipping is to get you connected to Allah. Worship your Lord with Allah Rabbul Alim until yaqeen come to you. Means until death come to you. That's why we are preparing ourselves every day, learning the deen and also preparing ourselves. And the beauty part of our religion, all of us are aware, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have said, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. Yeah, Allah have said, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. Wa tamamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam ad-dina. Today I have perfected my religion for you. So, our religion is so perfect. Everything is ready made. We just learn, understand, and follow. That's all. But we know the trap of Satan. Satan have a lot of planning. If he want to stop you from fasting, you insist to fast, then he know he can't stop you from fasting. But now he is going to encourage you to do a lot of things that will what? That will destroy your fast. That will invalid your fast. Now the Prophet did mention, when you are fasting, it is not that Allah want to stop us from eating and drinking and torture us. Yeah. But that's why the Prophet said, "Iza lam yada qawla zuru wa amala bih ليس لله أن هاجر أيد طعامه وشرابه. If a person just stop eating and drinking in the fasting month, only they fast without food, without drink, without having relation with your wife or the husband in the daytime, but they did not stop their tongue from lying, cheating, gossiping, backbiting, and do all the haram words, speech, Allah have no need to that kind of fast. So fasting is not just stay away from that, but the most important thing is control your tongue. Yeah, now you don't use tongue, you use your finger, because we have all the internet. Yeah, all the messages is going on. Internet is going. So you also must, the new technology, you say tongue, now shaitan give you idea. You are not using your tongue anymore. You are not talking. Finger. Yeah. You must know how to use your finger. You know? Use the finger to read, to look at the Quran. Read the ayat. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Then just ping all the messages that Allah only knows what is happening to all of us today. We know that, brothers and sisters, one of the things that can destroy all our deeds without we realizing is when we involve in innovation. You know what's innovation? Good. The Prophet has said, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa raddun." Don't take this command of the Prophet lightly. Whoever do an act of ibadah, an act of worship that was not taught by me, neither I taught my companion, neither my companion does it, and you try to be smart and you say there's nothing wrong, I have good intention, that is what Satan loves most. Like how he have misguided the people of the book, Yahud and Nasara. This is what happened to them. They have abandoned their book. They have abandoned the teaching of their prophet. And they come up with a lot of innovation, a lot of new thing that was not written in the book. And they say, it's okay. And it's happening to this nation again. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said to us that we will come to a time that we will follow the footsteps of others. If they will jump into a lizard hole, you will jump into the lizard hole together. So the companion asked, who are they? Are they the people of the book, Yahud Nasara? If not them, then who? If you are not being guided from the beginning, you just follow the tradition, you are not included in this hadith. This hadith is to those who know what Allah wants them to do, what the Prophet have taught us, but they still ignore that and entertain what is not been recommended. This is the way Satan traps us. Give us the good feeling, you are doing something good, no problem. The important thing is your intention. Your heart is good. Your intention is good. Do not give you the license to do anything that is not taught by Islam. If you want to consider it Islamic. Anything Islamic is must be guided. It must have reference. If I want to say this is Islamic, where is my reference? If there's no reference, this is my opinion. Fair enough. This is my feeling. No problem. Yeah. We know what is happening to us. Lately, a lot of messages going on about you do this, you do this, you get how many, all that how many, only Allah knows. Yeah. They give you all the encouragement, recite 800 times, 1,000 times, do what the Prophet wants us to do. Alhamdulillah. Now let us come back to the book. We are preparing ourselves for many things. And this is also telling us if something happened to any of our beloved one, our family members. We are still talking about what? About mourning. Yeah? Now we go to page 54. That's why I'm saying Islam is so beautiful. Everything is being mentioned. Islam do allow us to mourn, to feel sad when our beloved pass away. You should feel sad. You know? But there is a limit in everything. You know? Growing the beard as a sign of mourning. Growing the beard is an obligation for all men. Sisters must remember that. Yeah? Some young men have to shave their beard because they want to get married and they don't like a beard son-in-law. You know? You should be very happy if he want to be a real man. Yeah? But if he have no beard, then he don't have to put anything. Yeah? He just be himself. But if he have the beard, it's good for them to keep the beard. Yeah? It's an obligation for all men. However, many men use their beard in a controlled manner, saving it as a sign of joy. Yeah? Saving it as a sign of joy is something, it's not right. That feeling is not correct. But if you have some skin problem, yeah, you want to clean it and cure this skin problem, then it's okay. But the rest, you must be keeping it in a proper manner, keep it clean, tidy, of course, and letting it grow for a few days as a sign of grief. Now, somebody have problem. When they have problem, they forget to shave their beard. And then they look a bit down and with the beard coming out. That kind of beard is not a wajib. Yeah? That kind of beard is not wajib. The beard that is wajib is you keep it with the knowledge that you follow the command of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there are people who, when they are down, they have problem, they also keep their beard. Yeah? It's like there are a lot of people who have problem, they also fast. Protest fast. In the prison, they fast to protest. That kind of fast is not what Allah wants. Yeah? Allah wants you to fast for His sake. This practice is an obvious deviation from the Prophet's teaching. When you say the Prophet's Sunnah, brother and sister, always remember, you have Prophet's Hadith, is his saying. When you say Prophet's Sunnah, that means his action, his command, and his silence. All is his sunnah. Yeah? Furthermore, if it is done as a form of mourning, this would be clarified under the shaving the hair, which is prohibited in the above hadith. You are not supposed to even shave your hair, shave your beard, just because of mourning. No. Now, when the Prophet is telling us about this shows that before Islam, you have this tradition. People are so used to it, to show that they are not happy, they are very sad, they do all these things. And that's why the Prophet came and correct their doing. If you do for the sake of Allah, then it's an ibadah. If you do because of following the pagan, then you will become like them. So we have been a Muslim, we should do the way Islam wants us to do. The mourning that is allowed for a woman, the wife, is how many days? How many days for the wife to mourn? 4 months, 10 days. Meaning you are not supposed to go for any entertainment, party, walima, and you are not supposed to just go for touring here and there, but the normal thing that you have to do, you can go to market to buy the necessary things. You can attend classes, but you must limit your social kind of activities. You go to class and learn, get yourself more prepared, get closer to Allah, and then go home. Yeah, you don't like to just sit down and laugh away with a lot of other sisters. Yeah? This is the thing that we have to do. Yeah? We know what is allowed and what is not allowed, then we do what is allowed and stay away what is not allowed. The condolence now is virtue of consoling the Muslim. That is why when somebody passed away, the first thing that we will say is what? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So today, if you can't contact them sometime when people pass away, their phone will be very busy. For you to visit them is too far away. So at least you can use your finger. And this time you can use your finger. You know, and send a condolence. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Then you make istighfar. Allahumma ighfir lahu. May Allah forgive his soul. And may Allah increase your sabar. And reward you, the family, who have the patience to go through bad time. This is some kind of ta'ziyah, that we do feel for them. Now this is very important. Anybody who you receive any info that some Muslim pass away, even you do not know them, but your friend inform about them, immediately you send this. Just send a condolence, a kind of ta'ziyah, to show that you are responding. Even you don't know that person. I always do that too. You can save that actually in one of the in the phone, that the dua is there already. You just save it. Each time you have this kind of messages, you just copy it and send over. It's a prayer. It's good for you because it reminds you about death. Each time when you make this kind of condolence, it also reminds you about death, and also it reminds you about your responsibility towards a fellow Muslim. Because why, the prayer from a Muslim to another person without them knowing, they do not know who you are. They are not your normal friend, just a stranger, but all Muslims are like a family, will not be rejected. Da'watul akhi li akhi fil ghaib la turad. Our Prophet did mention the prayer from another Muslim to another Muslim without they knowing who they are, it's not that they are friend, will not be rejected. It's just like today, you know somebody is not well, you heard from some, and you pray for them. That prayer will not be rejected. But normally, the normal Muslim, they only pray for people who they know. And that's why when there's a funeral, you don't wait for an invitation card. There's a funeral prayer, please come. No. Why you know there's a funeral close to your area? Just go. And participate in the funeral prayer. That's one of the way you show your ta'ziyah. Not just by word, but you participate in the funeral prayer. And funeral prayer is not only for the male, for every Muslim. The more people who perform funeral prayer for a deceased, the more blessing from Allah Rabbul Alameen. Unless it's in a house and you know that that person don't like you to come to that house. So you don't think that, now he's dead, I can come. No. No. If he's alive again, he say get out. No. So he don't like you anymore. House is a private property that you have to honor. But if it's in the masjid, nobody can stop you. But house, you have to honor the right of the owner. They have the right not to allow you to come in. That's why when you want to go for raya or anything also, you must check. You cannot just enter a house without giving salam. If you give salam, you know people is inside. Assalamualaikum, no response. Assalamualaikum, no response. Assalamualaikum, third time, no response. You go home. Don't force yourself. Can you imagine people were so happy that immediately when you walk in, their face just turned sour. It's like a poison. No? Why must you do this to people? Are you happy to make people unhappy? No, don't do that. Now, it is recommended to console the family and close ones of the deceased, the close ones of the deceased to reduce their pain, sorrow, raise their hope that they are not alone. We also miss that person and help them be patient and submissive to Allah. So if this person is close to you, what do? The minute you visit them, as a sister to a sister, what do? Yeah, you hug them. Yeah, you hug them and make prayer for them. Yeah, may Allah strengthen your iman. Yeah, Allah love that person more. You know, it's time for him to go. It's not that Allah hate him. Allah love him. Yeah. You just talk about positive thing. But sometimes you may encounter that the person ending was not a good one. Yeah. He was doing something, drinking or gambling, and he died. What are you going to say to the family? Neither you want to be judgmental. Leave it to Allah. Just focus on the family members. No? May Allah protect all of us. No? And also, we never deny praying for forgiveness. May Allah forgive him. Because we know there's one thing that Allah has mentioned in the Quran, that he will forgive all the sin that you have committed. Except shirk. He may die. It's not a good ending. But we pray he do not commit shirk. Then the hope for Allah's forgiveness is always there. Yeah. Now, just recap. You remember the history of a person killing 99 and make it 101. You remember a woman, a prostitute, yeah, whose profession is doing all the haram thing, but she have a good ending. You remember a guy also was some torture the cats, some do not show no mercy to the dog and so on, but they have not been a good person, but because of the good thing they have done, Allah just forgive all their sins and Allah promised them Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine how can we be so cruel and be judgmental? Where this guy, maybe only Allah knows what really happened to him. We leave it to Allah. We don't have to talk about it anymore. Be silent at that time. Maybe the family said, you know where he died or not? You say, may Allah forgive him. May Allah protect us. That's all. You don't go and plus again. And then you go and talk. You know how that guy, he died like this, no? No. You don't talk anymore. You just, because the Prophet said, لا تسبل أموات. You are not supposed to talk and gossip about the dead person. Finish. His life have end. Whatever he have done, leave it to Allah. It's not good for us. But there's nothing good to recall all the bad thing. Yeah? Nothing good to recall. Just try to talk about the good thing if you remember. Everybody have some good side and also they have their bad side. Yeah? Is that easy, sisters, to talk about good? Yeah. Do that. Anything you can remember the good thing, just talk about the good thing. It's like our children, we love them so much. If they are doing something bad, we also do not want people to talk bad about them. That is not the way to say ta'ziah. Now you are gossiping, you are hurting the living now. That's why even not yet believer pass away, you cannot show your dislike. Leave it to Allah. Why? Because you want to save the one who is living. Show them that you care, that now they love, they trust you, they are close to you, so later on you can do da'wah to them. You can do da'wah to them. Yeah, it's a not yet Muslim. Even the Prophet, when a not yet Muslim passed away, if the funeral would pass in front of him, he would stand up to show some respect. For what? So that he can get closer to the family members. We are here not to curse anybody. No. Now, help them, yeah, to have patience, hug them, strengthen their iman, by reminding that everybody is from Allah. We have to go back to them, to Allah sooner or later. Yeah. This is best done by saying things from the sunnah, but may also be accomplished with any good words that serve this purpose, without conflicting with the shara. Yeah. Sometimes the family member will be very down. Do you know where he passed away? Do you know what happened? You don't prolong that discussion. Cut it off. Just say to them, Allah knows best. We must have good feeling now. You have children to take care. We don't want your children to remember that too. Then later on, you must try your best to find a better way to share that news. You can just make it very clear, you know, actually we do not know. Maybe it so happened that he was there. Maybe, you know, he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. Maybe he don't do anything. He's just be there. Sometimes it may happen. People are there because Allah qadar that you have to die there. It so happened that your friend was doing something bad. You may have the good intention to go and advise them, talk to them. They don't come to you, you go to them. And then you die at that place. Can you say that there's a bad ending? Can you say that there's a bad ending? When his intention to go there is to talk to his friend, to do da'wah to his friend. Can you say it's a bad ending? If you don't know, you become judgmental, you say it's a bad ending. That's why in many things in life, you have doubts. If the person is still alive, just, if you want to know, you just go and ask that person. If not, you don't create doubts. I normally inform my student before, remember, I have a lot of friends who are not yet Muslim. My family members who are not yet Muslim. My cousin brother, my nephew who are not Muslim. They may be in one bad area and suddenly they call me. Uncle, can you come? We need some advice. We have a friend here like this. What will I do normally? It depends. If I have free time, I may go. And suddenly I went into the nightclub. So it happened you all was walking around that area, you know. And you were talking to your friend about my stars, my shit. Suddenly you saw the stars come up. Stuck. What are you going to say? Wow. You don't know what to say anymore. And then you start to hide a bit, you are shy, you know. Neither you come and give salam to me. You just had me see. Why? And then I holding a young lady. They're yelling, it's my niece. No, I went there to save her from the problem. But you do not know. What is going to happen? So there's something you have no right to talk bad about anybody. You don't have right. If you have doubt, you clear the doubt with that person. Don't go and ask other person. Hey, I saw Yaga. You see the thing is going to viral again. Why are you going to do that? Why are you going to create unnecessary? You see me, you just give salam. Or maybe there is not me, another person. Look like me. Oh, no one knows sometimes. This is just an example. It's very, very important. Very, very important example. I know we feel sad, but you have the right to ask. Yeah, just example. Yeah. It's not easy sometimes. People can be very judgmental. You must know why I go. You can ask me. Then this is my niece. I give one simple example. When my daughter was staying in Makkah, learning and helping the Jaliyat, helping the non-Arabs who become a Muslim, the Filipinos, the Thai, they have the Jaliyat in charge of women and in charge of the male. So my daughter was with the female group. So when I went for Umrah or Hajj, I'll call her and then they'll come and see me. And when they come, of course, you know, my daughter is a loving, yeah, daughter. She will hug me. When we walk, we'll hold hand. And suddenly I have my Jama'ah also with me. So Jama'ah, I went into the lift. Yeah, we are going up to our room. And then now the Jama'ah just came in. They just look at me, quiet. Just an example. They're quiet. It's so easy, you know, for them to just to ask. But I realized, like, how the Prophet's time, when he was with his wife, and then suddenly some sahaba just passed over, and then the sahaba just feel shy, you know, quickly run away. You know. Prophet called them back. This is my wife. You know. So, but this, when I said to the jama'ah, this is my daughter, I thought Ustaz have the second one here. That's why Ustaz always go to Makkah, you know, second home for Umrah. And you see, this is what shaitan can come in very easily. Yeah? So please be very careful. Yeah? We have the right to console everybody. Anas bin Malik reported that Allah's Messenger said, the meaning, whoever consoled his brother in an affliction that befell him, that means the past, the death or anything, Allah will clothe him with a green suit with which he will be delighted on the day of resurrection. Because when you console a person, you hug them, give them all the good, positive feeling to have good thoughts with Allah Rabbul Alameen and move on. Yeah? Then Allah Rabbul Alameen will clothe you with a green suit with which he will be delighted on the day of resurrection. You see the reward that Allah gives us when you are positive. You know, when you are positive. I know sometimes being human, if something bad happened to someone that we know this is bad, and but still we are not supposed to talk and gossip about them, and give encouragement for the living to move on. If they are not right, we hope that the children are right, because the children can give shafa'ah to the parent. This is important, because if you keep on talking about the negative, it's like you are motivating others to do negative things. No. That's why the Prophet said, always follow up something that is negative with what? With positive. Ittabi'u as-sayyi'ah al-hasanat. Anything that is bad, you come with something better. If you respond negative with negative, it won't work. Negative with positive. In the Quran also, Allah said in Surah Hud, innal hasanat yuzhibna sayyat. Indeed, good things will push away, will erase that is bad. You must have that faith. With the help of Allah, everything will become good. Is that easy to have, brother and sister? InshaAllah, when you ask Allah to help you, you're feeling very difficult. About our feeling, very difficult, yeah, to control. Only with the help of Allah. That's why we must ask Allah for help. Don't think that you can do by yourself. Being human, We have all this worry, uncertainty. Yeah, we have all this doubt, and we love to entertain all these things. Even we are learning, but we still entertain. The next one, a show of kindness and concern. Offering condolence to the afflicted Muslim is an important expression of kindness and concern among the Muslim. This was best displayed by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Qurra al-Muzani radiallahu anhu reported that when Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat in the masjid for teaching when he was giving a class, tazkira, ta'lim, a group of his sahaba would sit with him. Normally, the sahaba would come close to him. Among them was a man who had a little son that would come from behind him and sit in front of him. The Prophet ﷺ asked him, "Do you love him?" Tuhibbu. The father replied, "O Allah's Messenger, may Allah love you like I love him. May Allah love you like I love him." Later on, the boy passed away. The father, grieved by his loss, stopped coming to the halaqah. That means stopped coming for classes because of the grief the father have. Allah's Messenger missed him and asked, "Mali la ara fulana? Why don't I see so and so?" He was told, "O Allah's Messenger, his son that you saw has died." So the Prophet called the sahaba to call for him, summon him, console him, and ask him, "Ya fulan, O so and so, what would you like better, enjoying your child during this life or that tomorrow, the hereafter? You will not reach a gate of Jannah, but find that he has preceded you to open it for you." Allahu Akbar. You see that good feeling? You know that you love your son. Your son is a good son. Suddenly Allah take him before you. Normally, you are prepared to go before your son. Normally, for a father to die before the son is very normal, common, because the elders go first. But suddenly you see when our children go first before us, that really hurt us. I should have gone earlier. Normally we feel that. That's why there are cases people were so close. When the daughter passed away, the mother passed away the next day. We have one of the jama'ah, and these are the daughter of my old jama'ah. Will be know each other from the early 70s. We were together with their family, and their children are with us now, alhamdulillah, with their grandchildren. We are very, very close. Suddenly one day they was driving on the way to Kuala Lumpur. They got involved in an accident, and the father was hugging the mom because of the impact. I forgot whether the father is the one who passed away first. Then after a few hours, the next follow. This kind of death sometimes is Allah Qadar again. Maybe their love is so strong that they have been asking all the time, only Allah knows. And they have that kind of ending. You know, the love of Fatima to the Prophet ﷺ was so strong. The rest of the people do love the Prophet, but they didn't have that kind of feeling to die earlier so that they can be with the Prophet. But Fatima asked the Prophet. Only Fatima whispered to the father, said, "Father, if you have to go back to Allah, please make dua that Allah will let me follow you as soon as possible. That after you will be me." And because she asked for it, so the Prophet made the prayer, And among the family of the Prophet who passed away after the Prophet is Fatima. Yeah? But I'm not saying that you all can ask your husband to do that. Yeah? I'm just saying these are people who are righteous people, good people. You know? But you cannot commit suicide. Yeah? It's haram. We have people who love each other so much, so the one who they love pass away, they also drink poison and die. That kind of love, yeah, is not Islamic. Yeah? Because if you, they die as a normal death, you commit suicide, you will never be together. You will never be together. Because you choose to have a bad ending. Yeah? You just to have patience and move forward. Yeah? So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, so and so, what would you like better, enjoying your child during this life? Maybe you love that. You want to spend time with your children, you know, or your grandchildren, that can make you happy. Or that tomorrow, you would not reach a gate of Jannah, but find that he has preceded you to open it for you. I think that is what we all pray for. That's why in this life, if your children is busy doing all the good things, let them do. Let them go. They want to seek knowledge, let them go. Encourage them, motivate them to do all the good things. Because if they will die by doing all the things that please Allah, they will also act as a shield to us to go to paradise. What more important than seeing your own children in the day of judgment in paradise? Allahu Akbar. So you must always remember, you don't just stop doing what you have to do and carry on doing all the good things when your child have a good ending. No, you thank Allah, oh Allah, alhamdulillah, may you accept all his good deeds and give him Jannah. That's what you have to do. And then you know what your son like to do sometimes. Your son have a good friend. He have a good teacher. You must connect yourself with the good people. So that when the teacher is teaching, the teacher will remember, oh, this is the father of so and so. It's like today, you know, a lot of the children and also the grandchildren who came to our class here, when I look at them, I remember their father. I remember the mother. And I will talk about them. Do you know? Maybe you don't recall. We know your parents before you were born. Then we talk. Now that also is very important. You motivate the children so that the children will be very proud of their parents. Because sometimes children forget what their parent is doing before. Grandchildren totally don't have any info. Now we will talk to the grandchildren. Sometimes when they join our camp, do you know who is your grandfather? We have to connect them back to all these family values so that they always feel good and proud to be the son, the daughter, the grandchildren of so and so. These are very important things that we have to have, yeah? That kind of info. Now he replied, whether he is preceding me to the Jannah gates to open it is dearer to me. He told him, this will be yours. Of course, the father, when heard that the Prophet said that, he was very happy. Of course, he would prefer the son waiting for him at the gate of Jannah. No. This will be yours. That's what the answer of the Prophet to this guy. A man of Ansar asked, oh Allah, you know what is Ansar, yeah? Ansar, they are the people from Medina, yeah? Oh Allah's Messenger, may Allah make me a ransom for you. Is that specially for him? Or is for all of us who lost their children? He replied, Balakum, yeah? Likullikum, rather is for all of you, as long as you all have that radar. You must have the radar. You cannot just grieve, hit yourself, complain, why my son, why my daughter, why my girl. You cannot do that. Yeah. It's for everybody. Yeah. That's why when we have children, we always spend time with them, remind them of all the good things. I believe all of us love to see our children. If the children is old now, we love to see the grandchildren. No, they are just like flower in the garden. No, it makes us so happy. Yeah? Even they are not that. Yeah? They are a bit naughty. To us, they are just active. But don't use the word naughty. Yeah? Nakal, jahat. Don't use that word. Say they are very active, hyperactive. Because sometimes we are very disciplined people. We have grandchildren, only Allah knows, because of the food they are eating, you know? The junk food become so active that they just don't listen to you anymore. But you still have to have patience. They are children. Yeah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them righteous children. Amen. Mm-hmm. And that's why when we want to be together as husband and wife, don't forget to make a dua. Allahumma jadibna minashaytan wa jadibna shaytan marazaqtana. Ask Allah to protect all of you so that Allah will give you righteous children where the Satan cannot whisper to the child. Because you ask Allah to protect you and your wife to have a good offspring. وَجَنِدْنَا الشَّيْطَانَ مَا رَزَقْتَنَا. Protect us from the shaitan. Yeah? If you give us children, so that our children will be protected from the Satan. Yeah? Dua is very important. When you ask, Allah will give. You know, but if you do not ask, you just want to have a handsome boy, blue eye, brown eye, so Allah give you blue and brown. Yeah? But then you have other problems. No? Then they have blue hair, you know, and then you don't know what to say anymore. You know? What to say, yeah, is important. When consoling a Muslim, it is important to remind him of the triviality of this life, that this life is full of tests. Nobody can escape. Up and down, good and bad, is part of the reality of life. That everything belongs to Allah. And that one should submit patiently to his qadar. Reviewing the beginning of this chapter, yeah, you talk about qadar and qadar, we have talked about that before. It is also beneficial to make him hopeful of Allah's mercy toward the beloved one that he loves. And that inshallah, he will be united with him on the day after which there is no parting. A day that you will not be separated anymore. This world, you are going to be separate sooner or later, whether you like it or not. Either because of work, either because of other things, you know. Because this world is temporary. Yeah? So everything is temporary. Because the world is temporary. Your time with each other is temporary. You know? Your food is temporary. Your fasting also, 1 month in a year. So yeah. Over there, no more fasting. Alhamdulillah. In Jannah, no fasting. In Jannah, no more namaz 5 times a day. In Jannah, no more giving sadaqah. No one need any sadaqah from you. You don't have to worry. In Jannah, nobody will make you unhappy anymore. Because everybody who's in Jannah will be just smiling and happy. No heart sick anymore. In Jannah, no headache. In Jannah, no toothache. In Jannah, no stomach ache, no ache, no toilet. Can you imagine? That is Jannah. Allahu Akbar. It's a beautiful place. Yeah? Osama bin Zaid reported that one of the messengers, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's daughter, sent someone to summon him because a child of hers was dying. He, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, told the envoy to say salam to her and tell her, Inna lillahi ma akhatha. Inna lillahi ma akhas. Wa lillahi ma'uti. Wa kulli shayin indahu li ajli musamma. Fal tasbir. Wal tahsib. To Allah belong what he took. Yeah? Inna lillahi ma akhadha, and to him belong what he gave, and he is the one who gave ma ata, wa kullu shay'in indahu li ajalin musamma. Everything is recorded with Allah for an appointed term, musamma. So let her be patient, for yasbir, and seek Allah's reward for her affliction. Now somebody went to call the Prophet, no? So that Prophet will talk to the person. So he just make prayer. He just say some word and said, to Allah belongs what he took. He have the right to took back what belonged to him. And to him belong what he gave. Whatever he gave you also is from him. It's not yours. We are just trustees. Just become a caretaker. Everything is recorded with him for appointed term. That means your death and everything is been fixed by Allah Rabbul Alameen. The time for you to go, you go. So that's why it's important for us to prepare. When you are prepared, when thing happen, you are not that, I would say that you are not caught by surprise. Lately there is a video been viral. It's good. While people was talking in the office, he collapsed and gone. While people was talking to his wife, he was standing, the wife was resting, they were walking, and then suddenly he just fall and gone. And when there's a guy who was checking in the hotel with the family waiting, he was at the counter, and suddenly the counter was talking to him, suddenly he just collapsed and gone. There are people who were just walking into the office for another meeting, everybody was there, and then he just walked, and halfway near to the chair where he wanted to sit, he just lost control, and then he dropped and gone. And there's the last one that they show, a basketball player. He was moving around, passing the ball, and then suddenly he just dropped and gone. Have you seen the viral? A lot of things is being shared. Just to remind us that we have to prepare ourselves. Because death can come at any place, at any time. Now on hearing this, she sent again to her father, insisting that he must come. The Prophet ﷺ went to her with some of his companions, including Sa'ad bin Ubadah, Mu'az bin Jabal, Ubayd bin Ka'ab, Zaid bin Thabit, and others. The child was put in the messenger's lap, its breathing echoing as if in an empty water skin. His eyes shed some tears, and Sa'ad exclaimed, "How is that you are weeping, O Allah's Messenger, when you have prohibited us to cry?" But is weeping is allowed. To cry also is allowed, but there must be a limit. He has replied, "Inni, I cry out of mercy for her and not to veil. Allah only instills this mercy in the heart of whomever He wills of His servant. Indeed, Allah does not grant mercy except to the merciful among His servants." Allahu Akbar. Wa inna ma yahram Allah min ibadihi ar-ruhama. Now, if you cry just because of that feeling, it's not that they are wailing, it is allowed. And now the Prophet is telling us, it's a gift from Allah to put that feeling of mercy in the heart of every one of us. There's another hadith, the Prophet said, "Irham man fir ar yarhamkum man fis sama." If you want the one in the heaven to shower his mercy down upon you, you must show mercy to the creation of Allah. That's why we must show mercy to the creation of Allah, especially human. If you look at what happened before, people worship heroes, these are great leaders, but these leaders have killed millions of people, and we said they are heroes. They have destroyed all the innocent children, mothers, all the old people, they just killed them without showing any mercy. And they even said that because they are black, they don't deserve to live. We are white. This world is only for the white. These are leaders. where we learn about their history and talk so good about them, but later on you go back to the history again, you'll find how cruel these people is, how inhuman these people is. But those who do not know, also they are heroes. They are all killers. They terrorize country, the weak. And we, as a Muslim, was taught by our Prophet to show mercy even to your enemy. One day, surrender, you must show mercy to them. Dress them, feed them, attend to their needs. If you can't serve them anymore, free them so that they know how to survive. It's like animals. You can feed them, feed them. You can't feed them, the animal in the zoo. No sponsorship anymore. But they have to survive. What should you do? What should we do? Bring them to their nature, to their fitrah. And then let them free. They will know how to survive by themselves. This is an example. You have no right to just keep them, and you can't feed them, and then you let them die. In the best, not in the best manner, in the worst manner. You remember, somebody will go to hell just because of that. Because of what? A dog, a cat. Because of a dog and a cat. Can you imagine if you will torture a human? You deprive them from food and drink. You prison them, torture them. Even to animal, you go to hell. How about human? This is an example. Show mercy. If you have helper at home, should you show mercy to your helper? Show mercy. Give them enough food, enough rest. Show mercy. That's why the Prophet said, Allah does not grant mercy except to the merciful among His servants. Commenting on this, Imam Nawawi said, the Prophet ﷺ consoling statement here is the best to be said for consolation. Always be positive. Buraidah bin Al-Hasib reported that Allah's Messenger used to look after the Ansar, the people of Medina, visit them and inquire about them. One day he was told that an Ansar woman was extremely grievous over the death of her only child. So Allah's Messenger went with some of his companions to visit and console her. And he said to her, I have been informed that you are sorrowful for your son. Ittaqillah, fattaqillah, wasbiri. Have taqwa of Allah and be patient. That's what the Prophet always remind the people who have been afflicted with all this musibah. Now see what she replied. How can I not be sorrowful when I am now childless, having no other children? The Prophet said, a true childless woman is that whose children remain alive, not offering them for Allah's cause. Whenever three children of a Muslim man or woman die and they seek Allah's reward for this, Allah will admit them into Jannah because of it. That means the Prophet is trying that true childless woman is that those who have children who are still alive, but they are not faithful to Allah. These are childless because the child is not going to do anything. He cannot help you. Neither you can help them because they choose not to follow the right way. Do you have children? Sometimes people have so many children, but these are doing haram thing, this one, doing all the bad thing. Now, are you proud to have all your children with you, but they are very disobedient to Allah? But they give you money. They give you driver. They give you big house. But they do all the haram thing. How do you feel? Are you happy with that kind of children? Normally, sometimes, yes. You are proud. Oh, my son is so and so. my daughter is so and so. But they go against Allah. They talk against Islam. They dislike the Islamic rule. What kind of children? This is the worst. Even you have physically, they are your children, they cannot be with you. If you are a good mother, if you are a good mother, it's really a big trial. You may cry, but they don't care. I don't know whether you're happy or not with that kind of children. But they give you money. They send you to tour and everywhere, first class, first class, first class. But if you think that is what kind of the children you want, then you are the poorest. Yeah? You are the poorest in the day. You have children, that children cannot benefit you anymore. And that's why Allah did mention, remember that your property and your children will become a big test to you, and they will become your enemy. Yeah. Prophet Noah have one child who go against him, Canaan. Yeah. Yeah, it's very tough, you know. Yeah. But three follow, alhamdulillah. Umar radiallahu anhu was sitting on the messenger's right side, asked, may my father and mother be a ransom for you. How about two children dying? Because the Prophet talking about three children. How about two children? The Prophet replied, was none, also two, no problem. Two also can admit and help you to go to Jannah, to be a shield. We have also cited earlier that Allah's Messenger said to console Salama when Abu Salama died. And we present in the next section of what he said in consolation to the family of his cousin Ja'far. Yeah? Now there are many other hadiths talk about this. Even if one child, if you have only one child, if Allah Rabbul Alameen is going to bless your child, he died as a righteous child, he will be a shield for you, not to go to Jahannam, because he won't say, oh Allah, I cannot go to Jannah without my father. Oh Allah, I cannot go to Jannah without my mother. So your upbringing must be good, inshallah. You will not regret. Teach your children how to read the Quran, pray. Teach them how to fast. Yeah. If you know their children is very hard to wake up for Fajr, you have to wake them up. Sometimes you have children like that, after training them, teaching them, reminding them, still you have to wake them up. No? But you have to do that. And you have to wake them for sahur. Yeah? Remember, when you wake up for sahur, even your children say, you don't wake me up, mom, no, I'm okay. No, wake them up. Why? Fi sahur barqa. There's a lot of blessing. We hope that they will also get the blessing. Yeah? That's why we encourage people to bring the children for classes, for activity, because in that environment there are special blessing. So we want, not only we receive the blessing, all our children have the blessing together. Yeah? Inshallah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepare all of us for this coming Ramadan, brother and sister. Don't forget two things. Number one is iftar. Before iftar, make prayer. And always when you ask Allah for things, brother and sister, don't be selfish in your dua. Don't me, all me. No. It's not good for you. You want your family. You want the jama'ah to be together. If you are here together in a class, you want to see all these beautiful faces again. You know, suddenly say, oh, mashallah, Sita Aisha, Ronan, Zuraida, Sita Khadija, Sita Fauzia, and all the good sisters, mashallah. Then you recall a lot of good memory. You know? Inshallah, yeah. Because Jannah is huge. Jannah is huge. And may we all try our best, to forgive each other for the best. Pray for the best, prepare for the best. and always prepare to do more in the month of Ramadan. Yeah? We have a lot of activities coming up. Whoever like to join us in this activity, just let us know. We are sending our team now out to check the background of the poor and the needy, which their name has been sent to us, just to make sure that we have full record on them, that they are genuine people who receive, who can receive aids, bantuan, and so on, inshallah. Yeah? So we'll keep everybody informed about the big days, but in the early of Ramadan, you will see, if you're here in the morning, there'll be a lot of people coming in already, and whatever we can contribute, we try to contribute to make their life better, inshallah. Yeah? So if there any question, now we open for Q&A. Fatafaddal. Any question from now, Sister Rohani?
There's a question from a sister who is breastfeeding.
Okay.
And she wants to know if she's paying fidya for the Ramadan that she's not fasting. Can she pay, does she pay the whole month, or can she deduct the days which she normally would have her menses?
The day when she have what?
Menses.
Menses. Now we know when you have menses, you cannot fast anymore. But while breastfeeding, you can still fast. But you must ask yourself, check with the doctor whether it's recommended for you to fast and you can still produce milk for the child, because the baby have right upon you. This is the time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us His mercy, that when you are having that kind of situation, you can break your fast and you can redeem, because breastfeeding is not only 1 month. You will have to breastfeed the child, if possible, for 2 years. So that means you need to be healthy to produce healthy milk for your baby. So if you think that you will know about your body better, that you have to break, so you break a fast and you pay the fidya. You pay the fidya. Yeah? It's like traveling, those who are traveling. Surprising, yeah? If you go for Umrah, in Ramadan example, while you're on the flight, if you want to break your fast, you can. You are a traveler. But we feel it so difficult to pay it back outside of Ramadan, it's better for us to fast. But Islamically, you can break your fast. Yet, as long as you are traveling. Yep. Normally, when you are traveling, you break your fast. But when you arrive and settle down there, then you can continue with the local. Yeah, because you are quite stable there already. Yeah, if the time is now is summer in Europe, that means the day will be longer. So, and if you want to consider yourself as a traveler, you can still consider yourself travelers. Then you can break your fast and you pay it back when you come back to Malaysia. No, that is the opinion from scholars. Some say 3 days, some them 2 weeks. From 3 days to the maximum of 2 weeks. But that is the opinion. No, nothing from the hadith. From the hadith, the Prophet became a musafir for even 20 days. Some companion was a musafir even for 3 months. So it depends. Yeah, it depends. But always remember, sister, that's why we have to plan for our traveling. Yeah? Whether we should travel at that particular month and we'll miss the Ramadan. Yeah? There's a lot of difference. You pay back other month than in Ramadan. Because Ramadan have a special kind of blessing. In need for urgent for medical treatment, and it's okay, then you can break your fast. When you're not well, you should not fast. That's why fasting is not to torture us. It's to train ourselves. But when you are not well, the Prophet said, don't fast. Even Allah said, whoever are traveling, marid أو سافر فإدة من أيام أخر. If you're traveling and you are not well, don't fast. Yeah, no problem. You can travel. Fasting month is the month in the time of the Prophet they engage in war, because the enemy wait for that month. They know this is the month the Prophet, the Muslim don't eat, don't drink, then they become weak, they are not strong, but they underestimate the spirit of the Muslim. And Allah give them victory, yeah, always because they are doing everything for the sake of Allah. When you go there for a mission, you go there for a reason, it's okay, no problem. But the thing that is not good is the intention, I know as a traveler, I don't have to fast. I can break my fast. So Ramadan, I like to travel, so that I can break fast. That means your intention is not to train yourself. Yeah. It's a training for our own self. Yeah. It's like the people who say, fasting month, those who have money, they just want to travel, so they don't have fast, they pay fidya. No. Intention is important. Naam, Sister Fauzia. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Salatul janazah. Take the mic. Yeah.
Salatul janazah. if you know that somebody, a Muslim, a so-called Muslim, doesn't do the five prayers of Islam, yeah. When he or she dies, do you join the Salatul Janazah, or do you stay away?
In Malaysia, you have some reminder sometime. Yeah, if you pass the old road, normally the old road you have a signboard. Semayang sebelum kamu disemayangkan. Semayanglah sebelum kamu disembayang. So pray before you be prayed. Now, if you want people to pray for you, you start to pray now. Example. Now, as a Muslim, we pray as long they are Muslim, we pray. Unless you know that person have informed you, I don't believe in Islam anymore. You have some children will tell their parent, don't call me to pray because I don't believe anymore. I'm not a Muslim. This religion is nonsense. That means they have their mindset that they don't believe in Islam. Only they don't change their name. No, in public, people still call them with their Muslim name. But deep inside, they have made it very clear with you. They inform you, don't call me to pray. I don't believe this is nonsense. This is nothing. This fasting, what is this? He don't do all this in front. You know this, then you stay away. You see, the time the Prophet, those who are munafiq, that means their outlook, they are like Muslim, they are like us, pray, fast, but inside, they don't believe. That is the munafiq. So the Prophet was given the knowledge about the true munafiq. So the Prophet never performed the prayer for them. When somebody died and Allah gave the info to the Prophet that he's a munafiq, the Prophet will not pray for, will not attend the funeral. But he did not stop others people who do not know. That is the rule.
But if you know for certain that this person doesn't perform the five pillars of Islam?
No, they doesn't pray because of what? They are lazy? Or because they are ignorant?
They're ignorant, not interested to learn.
Yeah, then they are ignorant.
But not interested to learn.
Yeah, they are still ignorant. Those who are ignorant, they don't learn. You know, when they learn, they are no more ignorant.
Yeah, they prefer the life of dunya. Yeah.
Sometimes you have these people. Now, there's two kind of sin. A person who know the law and they do not follow, but they do not deny the law. I know, but this is my own weaknesses. Maybe one day, not now. I'm still young. Maybe when I reach 70, inshallah, I will start to pray. No, I didn't go to Mecca yet. When I start to go to Mecca, then I will change my life. But they do not deny. But if he or she said to you, this praying is nonsense, it's a kufr. Denying one of Allah's command in the Quran is like denying the Quran. When you deny the Quran, there's no more iman. So that is why we must know whether they do not pray because out of laziness, they got the wrong information. And people say, no problem, you know, when you start to pray in the future, you can make qadha, you can pay back, no problem. Then they got misguided. They got the wrong info. And that's why you see now you have people, you go to Mecca, they put on the leaf sometimes near the floor before you enter the leaves. They say, whoever want people to cut off for their missed prayer, you know, can contact this number, you know, then we can negotiate how much, no problem. That means if you want, you say, I have not been praying for 10 years, so what to do now? They will, if you contact that number, they will tell you how long, how many prayers, you know. Then they'll mark up and then they'll calculate with their computer, with their smartphone, or for this kind of prayer thing. But these people are liar. They are liar. They are cheater. You know why? You know why? What they will do? They'll come to their own calculation. One prayer in haram is like 100,000. So they collect here, they collect there. And then they say, yeah, you must pray for this time. But to them, because they are business-minded, they are so easy. They say, just one prayer, it covers 100,000 reward. Call us. Big business going on, you see. The religion become a business today. May Allah protect us. Yeah? As long as they do not deny, only their weaknesses, may Allah forgive them. We know that Allah said, He will forgive all sin except shirk. Yeah. Naam, any other last question? Naam, sisters. Two more. Okay.
Assalamualaikum,
Ustaz. Rahmatullah.
The husband of a friend of mine has just passed away. They are not yet Muslims. And the wake is not at the house, but at the Nirvana Memorial place.
Okay.
So, as Muslims,
can you pay a visit?
Pay a visit to the Nirvana? I mean, not the house, but the crematorium area.
Yeah, yeah. The Prophet never stopped us visiting it, but you don't have to go there alone. Because there's no value by going there alone.
Yeah.
If they need your company.
I was thinking of visiting her after.
That's good. Visiting the living one.
Yeah.
To show that then we do feel for them, you know. But we are here for you in case you need any help, you know. We are here. Yeah. In case I would like to go and visit if they don't drive, you know how to drive. Yeah. Can you drive me? Then drive them, no problem.
Okay, second question is with regard to the wreath. You know? Wreath, you know, the flowers. Because friends are collecting, you know, money for a wreath, you know, to give to her family. As a Muslim, can we contribute to
the
wreath?
To the living, yes.
No, to the wreath. The bunga.
Okay. All these flowers and so on.
Yeah.
No, we don't do that.
We don't, okay.
Even among Muslim, we don't do that.
Yeah.
If you want, we'll give the money to them. For the living, the family. So this is some small contribution from the collection. Now, what they want to do is leave it to them. We can give it to them like that. To show that we do care. Because the living have to keep on living. You know, when somebody pass away, sometimes you have a problem about property. Whatever property, the bank know, they were going to freeze it. They frozen it. So this is the time they need money. And that is the time the law, they frozen the property. So that's why we have this problem. Man-made problem is always there. And that's why the Prophet always remind us, help them. So we should try our best to do collection, pass it. Don't go and buy all other things. You know? That way, correct. But the first thing is very important. Can we visit the grave? Because the Prophet visit the grave of his family. Yeah, and also the companion also went and visit the grave of their family who died and they are not Muslim. The only thing the Prophet said that Allah do not allow me to make prayer for them, but Allah do not stop me from visiting their graveyard. Because visiting graveyard also remind us about death. But when you talk about people who are not yet Muslim, if they need your company, you can bring them along, no problem. That's one of the way to do that. Sisters right now.
Yes, Waalaikumsalam.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi.
I was just wondering, for the death of a child in a miscarriage, is it considered same as a child who's died?
Yeah, when there is a soul.
Okay.
Yes, when there is a soul.
Jazakallah.
Now, when it's confirmed there is a soul living, think only that Allah Qadar that he will not survive in the third world. He end at the second part of the world. From the Darul, from Alam Arwah, he go to Ashi, then he transfer to Alam Rahim, then he or she end there. Those who survive that Rahim, then they are Alam Dunya. Then Alam Barzah, then Alam Akhirah. There are five stages. Alam Ruh, Alam Rahim, Alam Dunya, Alam Barzah or Alam Kubur, then you have Alam Al-Akhirah, the final Alam. Yeah, one that is a soul, yes. InshaAllah, may Allah make it easy for all of her sisters. And today is very unique. We have all the sisters. Yeah, Alhamdulillah. Normally we have some brothers around. Only we have one, mashallah. But the one over here too, they, alhamdulillah. Anyhow, please remember, you can alert your husband to that. Do understand the spirit, the importance of iftar, the prayer before iftar, so that they know. Now they should honor your right to have some privacy to make prayer. And then the sahur, don't miss your sahur. And remember, remind your parent also, or remind your loved one, not to have heavy iftar. Some dates, some fruit, water, prepare. And always prepare before iftar, wudu. Take your wudu before iftar. Because after iftar, then you're going to pray maghrib. So always prepare. So we don't want people to just wait. You don't want to wait. It's going to, the food is ready for you already. You just go and take your wudu and then sit and make dua. One, the iftar sound is on, the azan maghrib, and then you bismillah. And remember the dua. You remember the dua of breaking the fast? Zahaba dhama'u wa btalu da'uruk wa sabit al-ajru insha'Allah. Make that dua. So may Allah help us, brothers and sisters, and may Allah accept our deeds, forgive all our sins, and make this Ramadan the best for all of us. Wa billahi tawfiqi wa laqid da'wana walhamdulillah bil alamin. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.